Hello everyone, welcome to today's class. Today is the most important topic of all the series of discussions that we've done. And today we will talk about the enterprise IT infrastructure. Now, you would tell me why is this important, right? So we've discussed things like the applications, we've discussed things like ERP, customizations and stuff. But then why is enterprise IT infra the most important piece? So I would say it is as equally important as the applications, if not more, because it gives a foundation of foundations for the entire solutions to get structured around. Just a very simple example, you buy a house, right? Suppose if you buy a house with all the gizmos in it, so say you have remote controlled curtains, you have AC which can be controlled through your mobile phone and so on. But what if the foundation of the building is not correct? So what if the roof is leaking, right? If there's water seepage or stuff like that. So basically what I'm talking about is in a building, the foundation or the structure of the building is really important, on top of which you build your house. And in the house you can have all the tech bees around. So similar is the case with IT solution as well. At your foundations is the infrastructure. So it acts as a platform on which all the different technologies reside. This could be in the form of different applications. It could be in the form of database. It could be in the form of unified communication. It could be in the form of collaborative solutions. It could be security solutions. So everything basically resides on a common platform. And what is it? What is this platform? It is the infrastructure. So it provides a very good base, a very good baseline, a platform for all the advanced technologies to reside. So that is the topic of discussion for today's lecture. We will dive deep into what enterprise IT infrastructure is all about. We will understand the building blocks, the nuts and bolts as we've been doing so far. We will understand what are the key parts when we talk about a network, which is the foundation of every infrastructure as such. Slowly we'll build our logic onto understanding the difference between a corporate LAN setup versus a WAN setup. We will discuss something about the internet, which is again used to connect different people together. Now, what exactly is the internet? It's basically a very, very large network, correct? We will then have some understanding around how data center technologies are and some key terms in the data center networking field. We will then look at some of the storage technologies that are there in the market. We will also have a look at the unified communication platform that I said. How can the different technologies, say for example video conferencing, audio conferencing, unified presence, chat, right? Everything can be integrated into one common play. How, say for example, that has to get integrated with your email and messaging service. So how all these technologies work together. So that's part of the unified communication. We will also have a look at the storage technology, as I mentioned. We will then look at some of the security elements, the firewalls, the information security, right? What are the makings of it? Why do you need it? What is the kind of robust security that a corporate needs and enterprise teams look forward in a robust security policy as such, right? So let us, you know, try and build and understand few of the key concepts around it. So I don't expect you to memorize each and everything in it because it's just too vast. Right, but then it's important to know some of the key elements, and I'll keep highlighting that as we speak. Right, so let us begin this exciting journey. I'm really excited because I've been an infrastructure IT infrastructure designer myself, and I design enterprise solutions for say educational campuses, enterprises, smart cities, and I'll bring up some of the real life examples when we talk about these technologies as we move forward. So, as I said, in the previous discussions, we've covered important aspects of the solutions with regards to enterprise IT. It is more around the ERP, how the SCM functions integrate. ERP as a terminology, what does it mean? What are the different components of the ERP subsystem, right? So, we've discussed that. So, As I said, these applications do not run by themselves. Enterprise IT requires a whole host of technology solutions that get hidden away from the real picture, right? So all we today see is just an application. Take for example any SaaS application or software as a service. Say for example something like an email. So we really don't care about what is the underlying infrastructure, but then say someone who's planning their career into the enterprise IT stream. So for you, it is really important to know what are the foundations, what are the foundation technologies that these advanced technologies reside on. If you're looking at something as a SaaS, right? So what does the SaaS model consist of? What is the underlying hardware? Right? So it's important for you to understand that. Some of these are essential to an enterprise, and as I said, not just enterprises, but even for small companies. So these are networks that power email, unified communication, information security frameworks, right? So underlying is the IT infrastructure, and we'll discuss each and every chapter, as I said. So probably I'll try and, you know, give you some highlights of each and every section as we discuss. So the first topic is enterprise solutions, and the best or the most important part of it is enterprise networks. So what is an enterprise network? A network is a group of communication systems that connect with each other and multiple different computers, allowing the sharing of resources such as files or printers, internet connections, and several other computer resources, such as sharing of a common hard drive between different computers who are linked together in a particular work group, or sharing of the application which is hosted on a server. So basically it's a group of different devices that are built onto a common network. So that is what enterprise network is all about. In the world of computers, networking is the practice of linking two or more devices, as I said. So, and the sole purpose of it is for data sharing. Right. If I have a client server architecture, there is a server that is connected in the network, and there are 10 different clients that want to access that. So it's a part of the network. So data networks are built with a mix of hardware as well as software. Obviously, so the software is the application. The hardware is probably the underlying infrastructure on which the software resides. So a network is a group of devices that can communicate and be connected either physically or using a wireless medium. It can range from a single PC. So just take an example. There's a small organization which has got a single machine and a single printer. So still the printer and the machine are connected. Although they're connected directly through a cable, but then logically if you talk about it, it's still a network. What if I have two different computers, or what if I have three different computers? Then I'll hook everything onto a common switch, and the switch gets connected to the printer, right? So that's a network all about. So in scale, it can range from a single PC, or computer networks can serve a number of purposes. So some of which include, so communication such as emails, right? So emails can be shared over a common network. Instant messaging, chat. So we spoke about unified communication, and I'll have a deeper discussion around that. But then yes, it's a part of the enterprise network. So the shared hardware. So consider office environment which has got, we say, 100 users, 1,000 users. Then how do they share a common printer? Because you cannot have one individual printer per user, right? So usually it's a couple of printers per office. So how is that shared? So it's a common network altogether, and the printer gets connected. So that's again part of the network. Shared data and information throughout the use of storage device. So just like a printer is a shared resource, similarly you can have data which is a shared resource as well. Many different computers can access that common data. Shared software. We spoke about SaaS, we spoke about email, right? Say for example, if there is an ERP that is deployed in the organization. Now this particular ERP is accessed by everyone, right from the HR to the SCM to logistics to the vendors, right? So everyone accesses that. So that's an example of the shared software. So just to summarize at a high level, a network is something which connects all the different devices. It could be laptops, PCs, mobile phones, tablets, all the different devices together in a common platform. And the whole idea behind that is to access the different resources. It could be printers, it could be emails, it could be accessing data through a common network device. So basically it's a common pool of resources that could access the critical data which could be present anywhere, right? So have you ever wondered, say if a user, and this is true for multinational companies, so if a person who is sitting, say for example in India, right, he's still in a position to give a printout in a printer which is based in USA. I mean, sounds weird, right? So a person is sitting in India, but how is it that he is able to send a printer, send a print to a printer which is based in Seattle? I mean, it's just absurd, but then it is possible. And how is it possible? So there are certain technologies called as VPN, which is virtualization over the internet. So it's called as virtual private network. But then there are other technologies called as MPLS, which is multi-protocol label switching. So it's basically a private connectivity using the overall WAN infrastructure. So the way it works is that the office in India and the office in USA, basically they are one, right? And it's virtualized. So if you're using internet, then you can form something called as a secure tunnel over the internet, that is a virtual private network. So through this, what I'm doing is I'm extending my USA office to my India office. And that is the way through which a person can probably, you know, fire in a print command and can access the local printer there. So this is the power of networking. So everything, all the devices in the two different offices are connected to each other. So that's part of a single network. So early computer networks in the late 50s included the US military's semi-automatic ground environment and the commercial airline reservation systems. So, as I said, an enterprise network is an enterprise communication backbone that helps to connect the different commuters and the related devices. It could be across networks, so as I said, across geographical boundaries, or it could be across departments, could be in the same premise, could be in different premise. And the enterprise network reduces communication protocols. It facilitates the system-to-system protocols. So you don't need to worry about how it has to get communicated, because there are already set protocols in place. So IEEE has some set of protocols through which information can be shared from one network to another. How the entire interoperability between the protocols happen, right? So it's not that one network or all the networks for that matter speak the same language. Say for example in India, if I have some kind of a routing protocol, I might have another routing protocol in some other network. But then how do they interoperate between each other? So these are some of the issues that are handled, but then these are very well established and they are in place right now. So some of the characteristic of enterprise network, so as I said, these are large, so it could involve tens or hundreds or thousands of different networking devices. So these devices could be printers, it could be laptops, PCs, IoT devices, sensors, whatnot, Wi-Fi, access points, IP, cameras, it could be IP telephones, it could be, you know, video conferencing equipment. So everything could be a part of the common network. And they could be geographically distributed. I gave you an example of how, you know, a person sitting in India can access the printer which is based in USA. So although resources can be geographically scattered, but then it's still part of a common network. They're tightly controlled in today's environment by IT departments. So in all enterprise companies that you go to, there'll be one department which handles the IT. It's the IT department. You have dedicated people for it. So there are just like your CEO and the CFO, there is CIO or the Chief Information Officer. Then there is something called as the CISO, that is the Chief Information Security Officer. So these are the people who are responsible for architecting the entire infrastructure or the IT solution per se. The job of a CISO is to ensure that all the security parameters are taken care of, the enterprise data is fully secure, it's accessible easily by everyone, right? So these are the functions of the IT department as such. So the technologies are only increasing the complexity and diversity. So as in when there are new things that are coming into picture, new applications getting developed, so are the infrastructure components also trying to gear up to what the applications have to offer. And due to enterprises' need for expanding demand, the network services is a quest for. So it basically evolves from the need, right? So earlier, people were bound to come to office. Why? Because earlier you had the desktops in place. The desktops were connected to the internet, that is through a switch. But then, yes, the whole point was you had to come to office and you had to get your work done because your laptop, or sorry, not a laptop, your PC was there in your office. But not anymore, right? Now we live in a borderless world. So what do I mean by that? You can access information from anytime, anywhere, and at any given point in time, you have access to that information. So say for example, even if you are sitting at home and you want to access your corporate resources, you can still do that through the internet, through the network, through virtual private network, or through MPLS networks, right? So the point I'm making is that information now is very easily available, and there are tighter controls and tighter technologies in place which help these informations to reach the end user, right? So because of this, we are kind of living in a borderless world. So many times we see enterprises giving something like a work from home, right? Now, how is this possible? It is possible through a very seamless network, a seamless user experience, right? So if you have a single network which can be accessed from anywhere, anytime, any other form, then it's a seamless network that I'm talking about. So any discussion about networking will be incomplete without the mention of the OSI model, right? Now, OSI model, few of you who are listening to me would have probably had read it in the Engineering Times, but then so be rest assured. So what I will do is I'll try to cover up very quickly what does the OSI model talk about, why is it really needed, and what are the different layers in the OSI model, and why should we really care about. So the OSI model, or the Open Systems Interconnection, was a concept which was developed by the International Organization for Standardization. And this basically enables the communication between different diverse systems. Remember the different protocols that we said? So if there are different protocols in one network as compared to the other, how do they really play, right? Or they work together. So that's through the OSI model. So in plain English, the OSI model provides a standard for the different computer systems to be able to communicate to each other. So the OSI model can be seen as a universal language for computer networking, right? So I might understand something, you might understand something else, but then this provides a universal language for the computer networking. It's based on the concept of splitting a communication system into seven different layers, and these layers we will talk about it in major detail. But then it's, as I said, it sets a bar for all the different communications to happen, and makes the different protocols to talk to each other. So here you see the OSI model. So there are basically seven layers in the OSI model, and the OSI model got revised to the TCP/IP model. But then for this course, we'll restrict our discussion only to the OSI model. So there are seven layers, as I mentioned. And these are physical, data link, network, transport, session, presentation, and application, going from bottom to top. So if you have trouble remembering them, so just remember this as please do not touch Steve's pet alligator, right? So this is something that I was taught in my college, and probably I'll pass this information to you. So please do not touch Steve's pet alligator. So let's start with the top one. So which is application? So application, as you all understand, it's basically something that can interface with a user. So that's the application layer. Then you have the presentation layer, which ensures that the data is in the right format. You have the session layer, which maintains the session. So till what time should a user be logged on to that system? Then there is transport. So as the name suggests, the different transport technologies can be used, the different transmission protocols. So there is two famous ones, which is TCP and UDP, right? Then there is the network layer. So I've been talking about the two different networks, So how the different networks can talk to each other. So that's part of the networking layer. Then there is the data link layer. So if people want to talk to each other which are in the same network, then it happens over the data link layer. And the last is the physical layer. So physical layers is, you know, the raw cables or the bits and bytes through which the data is sent. So that's the physical layer. So let us understand each of the layers in a little more detail. The first, as I said, so we'll go from top to bottom now in this case, because this is something which can be more related to. So first is the application layer. So this is the only layer that directly interacts with the data from the user, as I just mentioned. So software applications like the web browser, the email clients rely on the application layer to initiate this communication. But then just understand one thing, any kind of client software application is not part of the application layer as such. Say any kind of web application, so say a browser when it communicates or an email. So this, they rely on the application layer, but any kind of software is not part of the application layer as such. So it's mentioned very clearly. So rather the application layer is responsible for the protocols and the data manipulation that the software resides. The software relies on to present the meaningful data to the user. So it's not the software as such, but then more to do with the overall manageability of the data from that software that has to communicate to the end user. So as I said, the only layer that interacts with the user. The next comes the presentation layer. Now presentation layer, as the name suggests, it is responsible for presenting the data, right? So say for example, if there is any kind of encryption or any kind of translation that has to happen, so that is the function of the presentation layer. So the presentation layer, it is responsible for preparing the data so that it can be used for the application layer. In other words, the presentation layer makes the data presentable for applications to be used, and the presentation layer is responsible for translation, encryption and compression of the data. So to communicating devices, say communication may be through different encoding mechanisms. So the presentation layer is responsible for translating the incoming data into a syntax that the application layer would understand. So say if the devices are communicating over a particular transmission protocol or a particular encryption algorithm, then how the encryption or the decryption has to happen, so that is the function of the presentation layer. Also, it is responsible for decoding of that encryption layer at the receiver end. So on one side you've encrypted that, but on the other side you have to decode or decrypt that data. So it's again part of the presentation layer. And as it is mentioned, that it is also the responsibility of the presentation layer to do the data compression. So there are many compression techniques that are used. So say if I have to send a file from one part to the other, so in the first go I might send the entire file as a whole, but then in the second go I might just send things that are modified, right? It makes more sense rather than sending the entire file. So then there are certain compression techniques that come into picture which actually compress the data before sending. So the presentation layer is responsible for compression as well. The third is the session layer. So third, or probably I should say the fifth layer in the OSI model, is the session layer. So this is the layer that is responsible for opening and closing the communication between the two devices. So the time difference between the time between the communication. So say if I have opened a communication channel for you to interact with me, so that's a session. So the time taken, the time between when the communication is opened and closed, it's called as a session. So say we've started this particular session, right? We call this as a learning session. So the start to end is the session time. So the session layer is responsible for that. So it ensures that the session opens long enough for transfer of all the data that needs to be exchanged, and then promptly closes the session in order to avoid wastage of resources. So say when a computer wants to interact with another computer, or say when you want to say look at some information on the web, so you basically type say the URL, say google.com. So what at the back end your computer does is that it opens a session And it allocates a port number. So just forget about the port number, but then it opens a session with the DNS, and the DNS then works with the Google server, but then it opens a session for some time. So when you close the browser, the session gets closed, right? So that's the part of or that's the function of the session layer. The fourth is the transport layer. So as the name suggests, the transport layer is responsible for the end-to-end communication between the two devices. Now this includes the data from the session layer and breaking it into the different chunks called as different segments before it sends to the layer 3 or the network layer. So the transport layer on the receiving device is responsible for reassembling those segments into a proper data header, as we call it, into the data session layer that can be consumed. So what it means is you have two different users on two different sides. So on one side, when the data is sent, it is broken down and it passes through the network layer. On the other side, again the transport layer would assemble that data and present it to the user. It is also responsible for flow control and error control. So it's got a lot of CRC codes and stuff like that which it runs to ensure that the data comes in a proper format. So for technical people out there, there is something called as the TCP three-way handshake, right? So first it checks whether the person or the other communicating device is there, then it sends a hello, then it receives an acknowledgement, and then it sends the data. So it's a three-way handshake mechanism that the transport layer does. Again, the transport layer has got basically two different protocols. So one is TCP, which is a reliable protocol, and there is UDP, which is not a very reliable protocol. So UDP is used for all, say, for example, non-critical stuff or real-time things. Consider an example. Say, if I have to send voice packets, or if I have to communicate over the internet, right? And I'm talking to you over the internet. I pick up my IP telephone and call you. So then, when my voice packet, say a hello, so if that hello is broken down into three different packets, then there is a particular sequence in which that packet has to reach the receiver, right? If it gets garbled in between, then it's of no use. But then just take an example of that versus a live match that you are watching. Say if for one particular second, if that data is garbled, then it isn't a life threatening event as such. So it basically, the live streaming happens on a UDP, and all the critical communication happens over a TCP. The third layer is a network layer. So as I've been mentioning, network is the most critical part. So networking or routing, you would have heard that. So routing happens on the networking layer. So the network layer is responsible for facilitating data transfer between two different networks. And make no mistake, these are two different networks, right? So I might be sitting in, say, India, and another person might be sitting in USA. So we are on two different networks. So the network layer can help to send the data between these two different networks. If the two devices communicating are on the same network, then it this particular communication happens over layer 2, which is the data link layer. But then if it is over different networks, then the network layer comes into picture. The network layer breaks up segments from the transport layer into smaller units called as packet. So when information is sent, it's called as an IP packet. So IP is nothing but an internet protocol. So we call it as a IP, and this is broken down into something called as packet. So when a packet is sent from one place to another, the packet contains the data and the header. The header would contain the different information like the source IP address, the destination IP address, right? So basically the communication happens over a packet. So the network layer also finds the best physical path for the data to reach the destination, and this is called as routing. So and this is a very key functionality of the network layer. So suppose when a data has to send a packet has to be sent from, say, India to USA. So this will happen over millions and millions of different network devices called as the routers. So the router's job is to send a layer 3 or a network layer packet from one network to the another. But then suppose if there are 10 different routers and these are all connected over a mesh, then which is the least path that this particular packet has to take to reach from the source to the destination. That is the part of the network layer, and this is called as a routing. So there are innumerable routing algorithms which are designed to do this routing. So there is something called as a BGP, which is a Border Gateway Protocol. There is something called as EIGRP. Then there is something called as OSPF, which is not so very popular nowadays. So there are different routing protocols which do this functionality. The second layer is the data link layer. So as I just mentioned, if there is communication that needs to happen between two devices which are part of the same network, then the data link layer comes into picture. The data link layer takes the packet from the network layer and breaks it into smaller pieces called as frames. Now on layer 3 we were talking about packets, on layer 2 we talk about frames. So like the network layer, the data link layer is responsible for the flow control and the error control in the intra-network. So again, it restricts itself only to the same network where the communicating devices are present, both the sender as well as the receiver. The last, or I should say the first, is the physical layer. So as I said, the physical layer is the actual bits and bytes. So it's the physical cable that you see. Any physical medium which is used to transfer the information is layer 1 or the physical layer, right? So it is a layer where the data gets converted into the bit stream, which is the zeros and ones. The physical layer of both the devices must agree on a signaling convention, and so that the ones can be distinguished between the zeros from both sides. So it's pretty simple, right?